Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Listen, man, I'm all for cross sports analysis, but I heard something crazy the other day from a very well-respected Giant guy that he thinks his feeling on what the Giants are going to do at the draft was affected by the Knicks game the other night.
What are you talking about?
And you know who that person is?
Who?
Sean Morash.
Sean.
Sean!
Why are you going crazy?
Before I play the clip, do you remember what you said?
Well, now that you're referencing where I said it, it is clicked. I was trying to reference what I've said here on this show.
It was not on this show. It was on this podcast I love to listen to called One Giant Step.
Oh. By the way, for those who do follow, it's not One Giant Turd, so stop tweeting me.
So apparently, and I had to edit this down because Sean does a lot of talking, which is fine. It's his podcast. I respect that.
Interrupting his co-host.
He always thought they were going to end up with J.J. McCarthy. Like, that's where he had been. Like, right. You know what? We're going to end up with J.J. McCarthy.
J.J.'s a winner, man.
He's a winner, man?
He's a winner.
You told me the other day he stinks.
Oh, I said I didn't want him. I didn't say he stinks.
No, you're right. You're right. You said you didn't want him.
But he's a winner.
But he's a winner.
He won twice in high school state championships. In the pandemic, he went down to IMG, became All-American, goes to Michigan, slowly got better, wins a national. Dude's a winner, man.
Are you starting to cool on him a little bit? You starting to fall in love with him?
No.
It's okay if you are.
I got a quarterback, dude.
That's right. So Sean was explaining, listen, I've always been on J.J. McCarthy. I've expected, not that he's in on him. Let me rephrase that. Sean expected that that's where the Giants were going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the other night, he had an epiphany. Here is him explaining such. Here we go.
My gut has shifted over the last 24 hours.
His gut has shifted.
What did you eat?
I was fully put over after what happened at the end of the Knicks-Sixers game 2 on Monday night.
Oh, God.
New York sports doesn't have moments like that with what happened with the Knicks.
Okay.
I think the New England Patriots are going to select J.J. McCarthy 3rd overall.
Ooh.
And it is going to send alarm bells off in East Rutherford. And I think it's the Giants who trade up with the Arizona Cardinals and take Drake May 4th overall.
Now, let me ask you this. And, of course, you could hear Sean and his co-host, One Giant Step. You should download it. They do a great job. Can you explain to me and the audience how Tyrese Maxey falling on his ass.
Getting fouled
and the referees missing it. Dante DiVincenzo making a couple of big threes, or a big three. Iheart making a huge block against said Tyrese Maxey. And Joel Embiid missing a wide open three. Can you explain how all of that, the craziness of that, somehow connects to the Giants drafting after acquiring Drake May?
Because we have been in a town and a rut of bad luck in sports. A lot of bad luck. And little bricks have happened along the way. The Yankees got Juan Soto. He's actually awesome, not a bust. The Mets dug out of above 500. The Rangers somehow don't give up a tying goal last night. But that Nick moment the other night, to have that kind of moment for those kind of fans where a team chokes to them, that made me realize, we're in for a surprise on Thursday night. Mm. And I think the Giants get blessed with their next franchise quarterback. And it happens in a way where it's fourth overall, not third overall. A guy that they've wanted all along that could change their franchise falls to better striking distance for them. The luck of the Knick game in that moment made me think the luck has changed in New York sports. Mm.
Hold on a second here. I missed yesterday. There was no luck the other night.
Here we go.
The Knicks took it because they want it more because, like I've been saying, the Sixers are gutless and the Knicks are hungrier. So nobody choked. There was no
luck. It's not about the Knicks. It's about the Giants. Tommy also didn't read the two-minute report with all the fouls missed. That being said.
I don't read dopey two-minute reports.
Look, let's be real. Moments like these haven't happened to us in a long time. There's some positive waves. I think Drake May is the quarterback from this draft, and him falling to a more like a fourth, a desirable trade position is different.
I do respect the cross-sport thought about the luck changing.
Doesn't make sense, but go ahead.
Here's where we differ, though.
Thanks, Steve.
It doesn't make sense. Here's where we differ, and I don't know if Loogie will come to me on this, but maybe he will. The New York Knicks took game two. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. They got some breaks along the way, but they took it, and they deserved it. And the Knicks fans deserve it because they've seen a lot of losing. They haven't won a championship since 1973. Your spoiled ass saw a Super Bowl this millennium. Two? The Knicks win, too. Yes, I'm aware. Two this millennium.
No.
If the Knicks win, the millennium is 1,000 years, bro. They won in 2007. They won in 2011. Don't get me started.
Never mind, I was thinking decade.
Thank you. If the Knicks win was signaling anything, it was signaling that it's the Jets' time, too. Mm. That's what it signals.
Why?
That's because the Knicks and the Jets are cousins in loserdom. Mm. They are two franchises in this town an incredibly passionate fan base who have won nothing.
Wouldn't the Jets be the Nets?
No. Why? Because they both came from the AFL and the APA.
Yes. Why can't this be like Thanksgiving dinner where everybody gets a plate, though, Ev? I didn't say the Giants are going to win the Super Bowl next year with Drake May.
Because the Giants and their success over the years has nothing to do or has no comparison to the Knicks. The greatest Knick comparison is the Jets. And I understand Loogie's not a Jet fan. You have to look past that. I'm not a Knick fan. I can look past it. The Knicks and the Jets are cousins in loserdom. Mm-hmm. So if there is any positive sign that you want to say relates to a team outside of the Knicks, it relates to guess who? Jets.
The New York Jets suck.
My podcast is not one Jet step. It's one Giant step. Second of all, correct me if I'm wrong, Tiki Lugauer. Did I not even throw the Mets in there and them climbing out of 500 and little breadcrumbs?
You did.
I'm including everybody.
You didn't say the Jets.
It's everybody who's seeing that resurgence happen.
Yes.
The Jets haven't seen it yet. They haven't played yet.
I get it.
Now, but Aaron Rodgers being healthy makes them feel like they're there.
Maybe that is a sign the Jets actually win the AFC next year. I didn't do a Jet podcast, and they haven't played like the Yankees or Mets for to make that reference. Why are you even in this conversation, bro?
That bothered you.
It did.
Wait, so you agree with his analogy?
No, but leave him alone.
Oh, okay. I'll leave you alone.
Thanks, Tiki.
I'll leave you alone. Let's go to Danny in Jackson, New Jersey. What's up, Danny?
What's up, dude?
Evan and Tiki, what's going on?
All's good, man.
Yo.
I think Drake May is the guy if he's going to drop the quarterback, but I have to agree with Tiki.
It's hard to get to him.
Well, first, I think the real sweepstakes for Drake died when Tommy DeVito won those games. But I think Roman Aduzier, though, I don't think he is bust-proof, Tiki. And I usually agree with you on everything else.
Right.
But George, after his catch, I don't think he is no Plaxico Burress. If he was, then I would draft him at six.
Right.
I'm thinking Giants should trade back and maybe get, like, what is this, Brian Thomas? What do you think about him?
Yeah, well, so there's...
Brian Thomas is shooting up draft boards. Right. I've seen the Jets possibly taking him at 10.
So there are 4 to 6 first-round wide receivers. We know the top three. We just talked about Brian Thomas, who you just mentioned, also at LSU, which is one of the reasons that Jaden Daniels was pretty good because he had two pretty damn good wide receivers, two of them top five. Ladd McConkey, the kid from Georgia, he's like borderline first, second round pick. Yeah. And then Adonai Mitchell from Texas is the other potential first-round pick. So there could be 6 wide receivers taken in the first round. Now, the question becomes, who do you like best? And what traits are you looking for? If I'm the Giants, and I'm saying this specifically for the Giants, they have a blazer, Jalen Hyatt, right? They have a guy who can stretch the field.
Yeah.
And by the way, Roma Dunze
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Is not a like a 4.6 guy. He ran a 4.45 40, so he's fast as well. But he's also big, right? And I think one of the things that the Giants haven't had. God, when was the last big wide receiver we had?
Plaxico Burress?
Hakeem Nicks. Hakeem Nicks. We haven't had a big, like, stout, athletic, dominant-type wide receiver since Hakeem Nicks. And that was short-lived because he left in free agency, and I don't even remember where he went.
He went indie, but he had a lot of the two-foot injuries.
Right. So it's been a while, and I think those type of guys are becoming more and more interesting in the league, right? And so if the Giants have the Wandell Robinson, they have the Jalen Hyatt, they now have a Roma Dunze, a big wide receiver type. And then you throw in the running game with Devin Singletary.
And the kid from Columbia.
Maybe DeAndre Miller, right? It feels like the team has, like, versatility in what they want to do, as opposed to, all right, we got all these interchangeable parts that feel the same.
No, I get that. The one thing I'm confused by is how does a guy – because I remember, and I don't mean to just pick on one guy who I think was a bust, and Sammy Watkins, who was taken fourth overall as a wide receiver. What makes a wide receiver?
Dude.
He was a bust. See that? By the way, that's also a very interesting discussion. What is a bust?
You know,
sometimes it's easy. Like, Zach Wilson is a bust. You know, Johnny Lamb Jones was a bust, and it's easy, and you know. And then there are others in which it's, like, kind of complicated. Yeah. I don't think Sammy Watkins is complicated. The guy was never a Pro Bowler. He was drafted fourth overall at wide receiver.
Traded up for.
Yeah, and they traded a ransom to get him.
He was a bust because of how and where he was drafted.
Well, okay.
Like, if he had been a late round, first round pick, we'd be like, all right, yeah, he was
pretty
good.
But he wasn't. And Odunze would be the same thing. If you're taking a wide receiver as high as the Giants would, and like I said earlier, if you missed it at the top of the show, rewind to 2 o'clock, this would be the highest drafted wide receiver in the history of the franchise. Ike Hilliard is the highest in this moment. He was taken seventh overall, the same year you were drafted, by the way, as you recall.
It could have been me.
It could have been you. And you wouldn't have been the highest running back drafted, as we later found out.
I appreciate you, but my running back coach who said I'd be there in the second round.
There you go.
Skip.
But when you are drafted that high, you come with greater standards. Yeah. Just the way it is. Look at the way Leonard Williams was treated by Jet fans versus Giant fans. He was taken very high. You come with higher standards. So I'm sorry. I want to get back to the question I was asking you. I went off.
What makes him a bust?
What makes somebody bust-proof?
All right, so here's I'm gonna quote from this article, because Robinson and Diana Rossini did this. Jacob Robinson and Diana Rossini. It's because I found it very compelling.
Go ahead.
It made sense to me. Here were the four criteria that they judge wide receivers on. One, basically, are you healthy?
Mm-hmm.
Do you start enough that we don't feel like you're not available? So are you healthy for 50 games? One, do you have a 1,000-yard season? Or two of them in your first 4 years? Do you have over 150 targets in a season, which is a ton, but it shows that you are the man. And then the last one is that the team pick up your fifth-year option. Because this is specific to first rounders.
No, I think that's all fair, but how do you know Odunze, or what makes you feel Odunze is draft is bust proof?
So if you
what about
so if there's three or four of these, if there's three or four, then you've justified being drafted in the first round.
I'd agree with that assessment.
And so do I think he'll be healthy?
Yes,
because he was never hurt in college, and he's a big wide receiver. I think he has health on his side. Do I think that he's going to post 1,000-yard seasons? Yeah, if he's as good as he is, we think he is, and he's targeted as much as he should be. He's gonna hit all those milestones and have 1,000 yards. And the Giants are going to open up their offense. And instead of having to rely on Saquon Barkley to be your bell cow and your home run hitter, you can do it in different ways and throw the ball down the field, which every quarterback and every offensive coordinator wants to do. And so, and then the last one, are you going to pick up his fifth-year option? That's to be determined. But if he hits all those other successes, then you're picking up the fifth-year option. Mm-hmm. So to me, I feel like Marvin Harrison Jr., one, because of pedigree. One, because from the moment he stepped on a college football field, the dude dominated.
Right, but if he fell to the Giants, you would take him.
One, not even a question.
Now, I think that's unlikely, but I can write a scenario out where that happens.
Right.
Like, I don't think it happens, but it could, especially if Minnesota's trading up and taking a quarterback.
Right.
And now four picks of quarterbacks.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, when you look at five, it could be a wide receiver. Yeah, could be an offensive lineman. If Arizona trades back and the Chargers end up picking, is it not possible, despite getting rid of the wide receivers they got rid of, they go Joe Alt? I don't think that's crazy.
Yeah,
why is that crazy?
And it would be in line with Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh.
Or they go wide receiver and they take Neighbors. That's the other thing that could possibly happen.
So there is a chance.
There is a chance
that Marvin Harrison is there.
There is a chance,
If you see four quarterbacks go real quick, the Giants have a shot at Marvin Harrison.
Agreed.
And that would be amazing.
And you would take him over at Odunze.
100%. I just think he's going to be gone. And in fact, we were talking in the break. There's a scenario where if Caleb Williams should fall.
Caleb Williams should fall?
I'm just telling you, it could happen.
It could happen?
Because if the Chicago Bears, who have 1-9, say nobody else is going to take him because they don't like him,
mm-hmm.
right? And the Bears just feel pressured to take him at number one because he feels like he's the number one consensus player. The Commanders say, "Hey, no, we really like Jaden Daniels. We did all the work on Jaden Daniels. We're going to take Jaden Daniels." Number four takes number three. The New England Patriots.
Yeah.
They end up taking Drake May. And then at four, the Minnesota Vikings trade all their assets. They come up to number four, and they take J.J. McCarthy because they need and desperately want a quarterback.
You think Caleb Williams would fall that far?
The Chargers, the Arizona Cardinals don't need a quarterback. The Chargers don't need a quarterback. The Giants don't need a quarterback.
Well, hold on.
The Atlanta Falcons don't need a quarterback.
No, I get all that, but wait, we got to start from the beginning here. Because now my brain's about to explode.
Yes.
And I feel helpless.
He could fall to you guys, and you could take a pick.
Now you're nuts. And I feel helpless because you can't bet on draft picks in New York City with FanDuel. I got to go to New Jersey, and that pisses me off. You're telling me that the Chicago Bears, who have been linked to Caleb Williams since the moment they got the number one overall pick,
why are they linked to Caleb Williams?
Because he's projected to be the best quarterback in the draft.
Right. But do we know he's going to be the best quarterback?
We never know.
Do we know what he's going to pan out to be?
No.
There have been a lot of first-round busted quarterbacks.
Yeah, but are the Bears seriously thinking about not taking him?
No.
Is that what you're telling me?
I think they are, but listen to this scenario.
Go ahead.
Who's the best player in this draft?
In whose opinion?
Just consensus opinion. Forget position.
Marvin Harrison.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you're the Chicago Bears and you're number one overall, you can take whoever the hell you want. There's 800 players. You can take whoever you want. What if you took Marvin Harrison number one? And now all of a sudden, the Commanders, who weren't even in on Caleb Williams.
Did Caleb Williams go to Topgolf? Do we know? Was he at that Topgolf event?
Oh, I gotta look. I don't know. But let's just say the Commanders are like, "Yeah, we didn't do our work on him. We didn't.
We want Jaden.
We want Jaden.
Okay.
We like Jaden better.
I'm with you
And now at number three, the New England Patriots are like, "Yeah, just he doesn't really fit our style. We're more whatever. We really like Drake May." And they take Drake May. Number four doesn't want a quarterback because that's Arizona.
But don't you think that the Patriots would pivot, though, and say,
I don't know.
Or even Washington, we didn't take Caleb Williams to Topgolf because we never thought he was going to be there.
Well, at this point, you haven't done your work on him, so you're just taking him on a flyer?
Well, that would be the greatest pump fake in the history of sports.
Right? So I'm just creating a scenario that sees Caleb Williams fall.
Is Tiki Rabarba reporting that Caleb Williams will not go number one overall?
I am not reporting that. I'm just saying I could see it happen.
Someone telling you this?
No.
Because I know one thing I've learned about you and Boomer is like, and I get it because you guys are well plugged in. You say stuff Because you know stuff.
No.
I don't know what you know. Maybe you know nothing. I don't know.
I'm just getting opinions and crafting them into my own thought.
Okay, okay. So just asking.
I don't think it's happening. But if it did, I wouldn't be surprised.
Huh. You know what that means? You know what that means, Sean?
It's happening?
It would just be, you know what?
What he's referring to is it when Steve Cohen bought the Mets.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I said.
Well, when Steve Cohen bought the Mets, you were much more like, this is what I heard. You're not saying this is what you heard.
No, this is just me piecing together what
I heard. Well, I think it's also like, I'll piece something else together, too. Can I piece something together? You have been very opinionated that you don't think Caleb Williams is that good. You don't think he's going to be great?
I think what he did in college was a lot of, let me figure it out, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sit. Hut. Oh, crap. Let me move. Let me ad lib. Let me just make a play because I'm that good, and he is that good. Yet they lost a lot of games that they had no business losing, exactly because of that. So if you come into the NFL, you don't have like a real knowledge of how to read and diagnose and identify and fix your problems at the line of scrimmage. This was Zach Wilson's problem too. Like you get to the line of scrimmage and you're like, oh crap, this is not what we practice. This is not how we thought it was going to line up. How do I fix it? And by the way, you got 3 seconds. It's not like you have 18 seconds to be like, let me see. Oh, well, if this guy's okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to audible. You got to do it like that, right? And so if you can't do that, and he didn't do that a lot in college, you're going to struggle in the NFL. You're going to feel like you're swimming, like you're in deep water and you don't have a life vest. And so he's going to get thrown in right away, and all that's going to happen. He's not going to have success. And then ultimately, we're going to start saying, oh, he's a bust. And then his confidence is going to wane. And then before you know it, like the narrative will flip like that. We've seen it happen so many times. And so the other guys are different than that. Like their offenses were, they were taught differently.
Right.
And so I feel like he could be great or he could be a bust. That's all I'm saying.
But you're leaning towards bust.
I
don't like him.
I don't.
Not as a person. I mean, you don't like him. Like you even said at the top of the show, the only quarterback you like is Drake May, which means you don't like Caleb Williams.
Right.
Which means if Caleb Williams somehow, and I think it would be stunning, one of the biggest stunners in draft history, if the Bears change their mind and don't draft him, if he fell all the way to the Giants at six, you're basically saying no gracias.
Giants aren't taking him. Here's the thing. I laid the scenario out because I think the Bears could draft the best player in the draft, Marvin Harrison, and still get Caleb Williams.
Wow, boy.
Because nobody else will take him.
Nobody? The Vikings wouldn't trade up and draft him?
I mean, they would try. Maybe the Vikings would.
Yeah.
But
Patriots, maybe?
Denver?
The Raiders?
Maybe. The Denver Broncos are at 12. I'm assuming no trades. So everybody would try to.
We'll get back to your calls on what you want the Jets and Giants to do, plus some quick thoughts on why today's Met game is actually really, really important before they start against San Francisco in about 25 minutes. The Odyssey app. I don't know if you remember this, Tiki, but it was about a week ago, a guy called up our show and said, hey, it'd be really cool if you had kind of like a cheesy theme song. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
So last night as I was trying to stay up during the Met game, I started thinking about that. I thought about how that guy said, hey, it'd be cool if you guys had a cheesy theme song. Maybe similar to the theme song I had with Beningo, the whole Joe and Evan song.
Yep.
So in order to keep myself up during those endless commercial breaks, because that's the toughest time on a West Coast game to get through it, for the first time I went to ChatGPT.
Yes.
Had never done it before.
Okay.
And I wrote into ChatGPT, hey, ChatGPT, can you write a theme song for the radio show hosted by Tiki Barber and Evan Roberts on WFAN? And I ain't kidding you. I got all the lyrics. Now, I don't have, like, the sound of how it should go.
That's amazing.
But here it is. Are you ready?
Yes, let's hear it.
Tune in. Turn up the radio. With Evan Roberts and Tiki Barber, here we go. Talking sports, breaking news. Every day we bring you the best views. On the airwaves, making waves. Evan and Tiki, we're here to say. From touchdowns to home runs, we've got all the sports fun. Then there's a verse in which Tiki Barber voices it.
Okay, what do I say?
I played on the field, now I'm on the mic, bringing insights and expertise. That's right. Evan's the man with the stats and the scores. Together, we're a dynamic duo, that's for sure. And here's the chorus. On the airwaves, making waves, Evan and Tiki, we're here to say, from buzzer beaters to hat tricks, we cover it all, we got the kicks. Tune in every day, don't miss a beat. Evan and Tiki bringing you the heat. From the courts to the gridiron, we've got you covered, we never tire on. On the airwaves, making waves, Evan and Tiki here to say, from slam dunks to hole-in-ones, we've got all the sports fun.
We don't talk golf.
So grab your coffee, tune into our show with Evan Roberts and Tiki Barber. Let's go! Sports talk, entertainment galore. We keep you informed and wanting more.
It's a little long.
That was too long?
Hey, lengthy.
Right. It needs to be shortened down by, like, I don't know, 3 minutes.
I was going to say 4 minutes. But...
You didn't like it? What did you think
of that? No. I think the lyrics hit. Lyrics hit. I'd like us to cover a little more hat tricks and hole-in-ones, but I think the lyrics hit.
Where was On Comet on Cupid? That sounded like 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. That sounded like more like a poem than a jingle.
But all songs are, really.
Just the fact that an AI can create that. I'm assuming they just scraped publicly available information.
That's what I would think.
And then they put together that song.
I mean, think about what they said about us personally. You were on the field, yeah. Now you're on the mic, and what they said about me is, I got the stats and scores.
I know.
Yeah, it was a pretty good job, right?
It is pretty good.
So now all we got to do is put that to music, and we're good to go. You want to sign off on that being our theme song or
yes.
Not really?
Yes, but it's going to depend on the music. It's going to definitely depend on the music.
Sean is very jealous. He's like, where was his mention?
No, I hand the ball to the ref.
Okay. In about 10 minutes, the Mets are going to play the San Francisco Giants. And I've said this to you, Tiki. Baseball's a long-ass season.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain games that matter just a little bit more than other games. And I happen to think the Mets are going to play a game this afternoon that matters just a touch more, and I'll tell you why. They won the first two games in L.A. It was a great feeling. They were scoring a ton of runs.
Yep.
And there was a cloud hanging over them, and that was the injury to Francisco Alvarez. We now know he's out 6 to 8 weeks. Since that point, and a part of it is facing good pitching, I acknowledge that, they got shut down on Sunday by Tyler Glasnow. They got shut down on Monday by Keaton Wynn. They got shut down last night by Logan Webb. And the Mets have now lost three in a row after they had that extended winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
This game against San Francisco, which now takes on new light because Blake Snell, who, yes, he was off to a rocky start, but has pitched well in his career against the Mets. Blake Snell got scratched,
right.
And he's actually going on the injured list. So the Giants are going to have a bullpen day.
Yeah.
The Giant bullpen, not that good. So this really sets up with Sean Manaea on the mound as one of those games. Not going to get nuts to you and call you a must win. That's stupid. It's April. But it's an important game. It's one of those games where ease any concerns that may start to emerge from Lindor being back into a batting slump, from Alvarez being out, from this three-game losing streak and win a game. It changes the complexion of the trip. 3-3 is far different than 2-4.
Mm-hmm.
And so I say this before a pitch is even thrown. This game is just a little bit more important than most.
Right, and the other thing that you take into account is that the Mets worked so hard, and we talked about it, to get above 500. In fact, we had a Sean prognostication that proved to be false, that they would never see 500. They got 500,
That's right.
They kind of zoomed above it with that win streak. And if they lose today, then they're back at 500.
Yes.
And losing three in a row, it portends a very roller coastery season.
Yeah.
And those are the most frustrating ones.
Well, you've got to. I always say this about winning streaks, and I don't think I said this in the midst of the winning streak, but I've certainly said it in the past. The most important thing about a winning streak is that it will naturally end, and the question is, how do you respond to it? Do you respond to it by losing and then winning two more, then losing, then winning three more, and kind of continuing a good stretch? Or do you give it all back? The Mets are in danger of giving it all back. And there are some concerns. You know, Francisco Lindor started to get hot.
Right.
And then over the last couple of days in San Francisco, and certainly that Sunday against the Dodgers, he got ice cold again. Brandon Nimmo has not woken up yet. They need to get Brandon Nimmo going. Honestly, the only guy who's hit consistently, and I can't believe I'm saying this, is Starling Marte.
Right.
Starling Marte's hitting line drives all over the place. And then you mix it in with the fact that the Mets were given a break in theory. Blake Snell got scratched. So this afternoon in San Francisco, they're facing Ryan Walker, who is a relief pitcher. Mm-hmm. They are about to face the Giants bullpen. This is an important baseball game. I don't want to get nuts. I don't call things must wins. I just know, and I'm going to warn you. I want to warn you as a co-host and now as a friend.
Yeah.
My mood is going to be volatile this afternoon.
Right. And you look at the Giants. Interestingly, they're kind of in, they're in a similar spot where they're just kind of up and down. They win a couple here. They lose a couple here. They're hovering right around 500. The difference is that they're home. And it's, you know, it feels more important to them, even though they're in a kind of similar situation than the Mets. But the Mets, from our standpoint, I mean, obviously this is key because then they go.
They come home. They have an off day and then they play the
right,
Cardinals.
Right.
Cardinals and Cubs at Citi Field, plotting out which day I'm going to. I'm very annoyed about something, and I can't figure out if it's my fault or if it's the Mets' fault. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
So when the Mets schedule comes out, I write down every game and all the giveaways for my family, to which games my family would definitely want to go to.
Wait, stop right there. Before you finish the story, Tiki, let's predict. Is it Evan's fault or the Mets' fault?
This is Evans' fault.
He's going Evans' fault. Go ahead.
I'm guessing.
I'm going to say Evan's going to put it on the Mets. It's the Mets' fault.
Okay.
This is definitely Evan's fault.
Okay, so you all think it's my fault, all right?
No, Sean or Loogie said.
No, no, Loogie said it's my fault, but I'm going to blame the Mets. That means it's my fault.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know the answer to this, so you can make a phone call to the Mets and find out. But here's what happened.
Let's hear it first.
I write down every single Met home game and the giveaway so that my wife and kids know, hey, that's firework night. Let's make sure we go. Hey, that's the day they're giving away the basketball jersey. Let's avoid that game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the giveaway my wife and my oldest son was most excited about was Harry Potter Scarf Day. Okay?
Is that Friday?
That was what I thought was Friday. Mm. And I wrote it down as Friday, April 26th.
Right.
I made sure I had my tickets. I made sure I got extra tickets. I was good to go. Now, we were probably going to have to miss the game anyway. My son's got a medical procedure, nothing big. But whatever. That's neither here nor there. I make sure Friday I'm good to go. I find out like 2 days ago, based on just like a Met promotion, that the scarf they're giving away is actually Saturday.
Oh, so now you can go.
No, my tickets were already sold. I was plotting that I was going Friday and maybe Sunday. Like, I have to schedule this. So now I'm like to my wife, what the hell happened? I thought scarf night was Friday. And she says, be honest with me, because it's okay. You're human. Did you F up or did the Mets F up?
Mm.
And I said, I honestly don't know. So I can't sit here and tell you that the Mets F'd up because that would be me just lying.
So I think it's you.
You think it's me.
Yeah.
But we don't know. Like, can you call the Mets and ask them? Just be honest with me.
If they changed the date?
Because here's the deal. Changed it, no harm, no foul. Okay, I'm not mad at them. I just want to know I'm not crazy.
All right, so both of these are against the Cardinals, right?
Correct.
So both these games are against the Cardinals.
Yes.
One was a night game.
7 o'clock.
So a 7 o'clock night game.
Yes.
And late April.
Yes.
That's probably versus a Saturday day game.
4:10.
4:10 day game.
Yes.
Which one seems more likely to give away?
I preferred it was Saturday because it's much easier on a personal level to take my family to a game on a Saturday as opposed to a Friday when I'm here with you till 6:30.
I know, but I'm just saying, if you were giving away a scarf, are you giving away it at night? Are you giving it away in the daytime?
To me,
see it,
it makes more sense to give it away during the day, but the Mets have giveaways during the week. What was that?
You're missing the point.
I'm sorry. I'm confused.
A chilly night game in April is when you hand out a scarf, so you were probably right. It probably was Friday.
So you think the Mets screwed me?
Yeah, so I'm changing my guess.
So you think I even got screwed?
I think you got screwed.
All right, thank you.
I think you did it right.
That tells me more tickets were sold the Friday night, and they did a little look-see. How do we push these tickets
can
up?
You can you look, there's nothing I can do about it. It's over.
Well,
plans have changed. Like, I'm just not going.
Hold on. They had to have put out a... Because they do the giveaways at the beginning of the season.
Oh, right? Well, before I wrote this down in February,
so
dude.
So there's definitely an email that contains that. Because I feel like we get it.
We do.
This is the giveaway calendar.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely do that because I remember reading it for both the Yankees and the Mets.
I find that and so let me know if it was Friday or Saturday. I want to know if, because I may not be the only one. I'm sure there are. And the reason I'm convinced it's like people care is that Saturday's game is just a hotter ticket than Friday's game and Sunday's game. Mm. There's more value to that game. It's why I sold it. I sold it because, look, I'm doing all right. And I wasn't going to go based on the scheduling if I was going to go Friday. But I feel like the Mets hoodwinked me.
If they did hoodwink you, do you want me to call the Mets and ask for 4 scarves from Hogwarts? Is that what we're doing here?
Am I
you
asking?
You are Evan Roberts. You're the Pied Piper. You're a huge Met fan. You give him a ton of money.
Am I asking you to do that?
If they effed up, they should make it right and get you four Hogwarts.
The Mets do a very good job in which they allow season ticket holders to request the giveaways, but they always don't come through. Like, I can request it. Like, I requested the Tom Seaver statue for my dad. He didn't make it to that game, and I never got it. They're like, oh, we ran out. So I was never able to get it. So the Mets try to help, but they're not exactly flawless, right?
Didn't you get the ghost fork thing for Jet?
Yeah, that's different. Yeah, I got that one. That one, I got one. And here's the problem, Loogie, and Sean understands, and Tiki understands. When you have two kids, you can't get one.
Sure.
That's a good point.
You're a son of a bitch get one.
You guys can just share.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
It never works.
They want to kill each other. Right. So the Mets, here's what I'll say. Did they come through with a ghost forkball? Yes. Did they cause World War VII in the Roberts household? Yes. So I don't know how much credit I want to give them.
Now, there's something else that needs to be said here, Ev.
Go ahead.
We're not talking about a Knick playoff game here. I'm looking right now. The get in to get 12 tickets to go to this game, $25 a pop.
Yeah, see, this is how little you know.
You got to sit in the perfect seat behind home plate.
It has nothing to do with that. So the get in for Saturday is $25, and Sean's saying that's nothing. Mm-hmm. Why don't you check in the get in for Friday's game and then make a little comparison?
I'm sure it's nothing. But
it's
the point
$6!
Is, we're not talking about $600 tickets here. They're going to be lucky to have enough bands to give away.
I'm not suggesting it's $180 to get in to sit in the upper deck. What I'm saying is, it costs more to go to Saturday than it does Friday. Mm.
So I have an email from the Mets, and it gives me this little graphic Mets 2024 promotional calendar.
When was it? Where was it from?
What date was the email
from? When did the email come?
Hold on. Give me 1 minute here.
That's the key.
Tuesday, February 20th.
Perfect. Whatever it says, I trust.
Saturday, 27, Hogwarts, House Garza.
Really?
Saturday, the 27th.
I screwed up.
Yeah. So we should have gone with our initial gut.
Yeah, it's on it.
Our gut.
Wow.
It's on you.
I screwed up.
It's on you.
I'm usually so good with this.
Damn. Just spend the $25. Go get three scars and come
it's
home.
It's not about the money. It's about that. I can't. Listen, I know you guys think I go to every game. I have a family. I got to negotiate at home.
I'm not saying that you're going to go to the game and stay. Just drive. It's your penance.
Oh, just go.
Just drive down. Spend the $75. Get your three scars. Say peace out. I'm gone. I'll listen on the radio.
You know what's so funny about that? And this is in my Mets Bible. So you can see this story. The last time I did that, okay, where me and my wife wanted the giveaway. Simple as that. We did not want to go to the game. She wanted the giveaway. Was the final Saturday of the regular season in 2015. It was a day-night doubleheader, and it was the second game. So me and my wife drive up.
So the giveaway was the second game, not the first game.
Right, because the first one was a makeup game.
Okay.
Okay?
Got it.
So the second game, it was cold out. The Mets are in the playoffs. So I'm going to be going to a ton of games. And my wife's like, look, I just want that blanket. That's a badass blanket. Let's go get the blanket. I go online to get the blanket. I show them the two tickets. They're like, no. You only get one blanket. I said, excuse me? I got two tickets. They said, nope. It's per person, not per ticket. So my wife, who's got that Latina temper, you know what I'm talking about, she said, I go back to the car. She's like, oh, yeah, let's see what goes on. She goes to the front of that effing line and said, excuse me, hand over the blankets.
I love that.
That woman was so intimidated, gave her an extra blanket.
So that, you got three?
Oh, here's the best part of the story. Went home, cuddled, made out. Max Scherzer threw a no-hitter.
Oh, God.
For the Nationals, still, obviously, yeah. So I missed the no-hitter. Would have been my second no-hitter of the year at Citi Field. So, yeah, I mean, I've done it before where you just go and get the giveaway and then leave.
And you would have been prematurely pining for him. I want that guy on my team. I really, really want that guy.
Let's go to Kendrick in Suffern. What's up, Kendrick?
Hey, guys. Before I make my draft points, Evan, that theme song that you wrote with ChatGPT is a good lead into the Cinco de Five. I think I cut it a little bit there. I was played up.
Yeah, we should do that too.
I
wonder if ChatGPT will have a knowledge of the Cinco de Five.
I am going to try that right now. Oh. I'm going to log on to my ChatGPT and I'm going to get an intro for the Cinco de Five and see what it comes up with.
Go ahead, Kendrick.
So, with my draft points, one, I think for the Giants, Tiki, I'm with you. You should go wide receiver this year. Mm-hmm. Look for the quarterback next year. The one thing that Dable and the Bills did to help Josh Allen, if you remember, is when they went and got Stephon Diggs.
Right, 100%.
And so I think you need to have structure in place for a young kid to come in and start to excel at the level that they want him to. And the other part of it is the Lions today, I don't know if you guys saw this, but they're playing chess with the whole entire league, signing these two guys right before draft day.
Yeah.
Because Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell just got their bags.
You're right, they got
and
paid.
That's a lot of money. So I think, you know, I've called a couple of times. I've talked about this. The receiver, the franchise tag for the receiver is getting up there too, where your top receiver is getting paid
20,
honestly,
20 plus.
The average quarterback.
Right.
I mean, Tyreek Brown got
30. Tyreek Hill is 30, right.
Yeah.
And so with the Jets, that's my thing. I think right now there's two ways the Jets can go. Bowers is a luxury, and I'm kind of past that at this point. With what the tackle just got paid in Detroit, you go with the tackle, or for me, it's the receiver, because Garrett Wilson's going to get paid soon enough too. And, you know, a lot of these draft practitioners are coming out and they're saying this is a bust and this was a hit. It wasn't until the past like couple of years that these receivers like CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, they still haven't gotten paid yet.
Right,
and they're going to set the market.
Right. It's going to get
big
ridiculous.
Time
right.
For
the only one that we have as an example, Kendrick, was via trade. And that was Tyreek Hill.
Mm.
The one he forced his way out because he knew that the Kansas City Chiefs could not and were not going to pay him. So they forced a trade out a year early. And then the Miami Dolphins paid him $30 million a year. But it's heading that way. He's right. So I don't know if it's mitigating. Like you draft a wide receiver just in case things don't work out with Sauce.
No, that's not the reason you do it.
With Garrett Wilson.
You don't draft a wide receiver because you have to pay Garrett Wilson in a few years. You draft a wide receiver because you think that makes you closer to winning a championship.
I think you're right. And in something interestingly that the Packers never really did.
Yeah.
I mean, even though they ended up getting Christian Watson. But that was kind of after all the damage had been done.
Yeah, most of the wide receivers that Aaron had, not that it's the end-all, be-all, were second, third, fourth-round picks. By the way, here's your song written by ChatGPT, and it's the same thing. It's very long. It's the Afternoon Buzz on WFAN with Sean Morash. He's the man. When the clock strikes five, you know it's time for a segment that's oh so prime. Cinco de Fivo, it's the way to go. With sports talk that's fast and flow. Sean's on the mic bringing all the hype on WFAN. It's just right. From hoops to touchdowns, everything's fair game. On Cinco de Fivo, no 2 days are the same. With wit and wisdom, he'll make you smile as he goes the extra mile. You like that one?
That's actually, like, detailed enough to make it feel like he listens to it.
Yeah, well, if he listened to it, it would have been only one out of every eight are actually good.
That ChatGPT thing is scary.
I'm about to ask a very dangerous question. Should Tiki Barber be a Hall of Famer?
Ooh.
Here we go.
Oh, God.
All right, here we go.
It's like a Ouija board.
Look at this answer. The question of whether Tiki Barber should be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame is a topic of debate among football fans and analysts. Hmm. On one hand, Barber had an impressive NFL career, spending his entire 10-season tenure with the New York Giants.
Uh-huh.
He was a 3-time Pro Bowl selection and retired as the Giants' all-time leading rusher.
Facts.
Barber was known for his versatility, excelling not only as a rusher but also as a receiver out of the backfield. However, some argue that Barber's Hall of Fame candidacy is hindered by the absence of a Super Bowl ring and his decision to
wide receiver.
I apologize. I'm just reading what they told me. It's hindered by the absence of a Super Bowl ring and his decision to retire at the peak of his career, which some view as premature. How about that?
Okay. So Barry Sanders? Jim Brown?
Hold on. Rod. Additionally.
Calvin Johnson?
I'm sorry, I'm not done yet.
Calvin Johnson?
You're going to get upset, but this is just ChatGPT.
Uh-huh.
Additionally, Barber's post-football controversies, including criticism of his former team and teammates, have also generated mixed opinions about his candidacy. Now, you got to go after ChatGPT. What'd you say about your teammates?
Well,
Eli was funny? Well, he was funny.
Right. No, that's the problem is the Hall of Fame has nothing to do with, like, who you are. It's everything to do with what you did.
Mm.
Period.
But also, like, ChatGPT didn't even give an opinion.
By the way,
told both sides.
So, by the way, this is the problem with AI.
Yes.
I'm being serious. This is I'm not even being funny. I'm just being response to AI. AI doesn't understand context, right? Because that computer thinks that it matters that I have controversial opinions in my job as an analyst. Like, I think that matters relative to my Hall of Fame candidacy.
Right.
Which it does not at all.
Right.
And so, right, somebody would read this. If you were uninitiated to football, you had no idea, you would go around and start regurgitating that and think you're smart and think you have all of the
intel and the ideas around my Hall of Fame candidacy, even though that last statement is irrelevant towards my Hall of Fame candidacy. This is why I think AI is an existential threat to it. I know Meta and OpenAI, like I know all these companies are putting all of these resources into these AIs. There's something fundamentally flawed about them. And as soon as the data, because it's copyrighted and trademark, gets taken away and they have to start over, AI is screwed.
Mm.
So I'm just telling you, people are scared of it. I think it's got an existential problem.
Yeah, no, I get you. I think Chat GPT don't have any balls, because the last sentence was, ultimately, whether Tiki Barber deserves to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame or not is subjective and depends on individual criteria and opinions.
Right.
So you basically didn't tell us anything.
But it's just giving you ammo so you can have the conversation if you don't know the conversation.
Yeah.
And of course it doesn't have balls. It's artificial.
Well, it's hypocritical, because you know what? I just asked it another question.
Which is?
Is Boomer Esiason deserving of being a Pro Football Hall of Famer?
Man. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
You ready for this? Boomer's career in the NFL is certainly Hall of Fame worthy.
Boomer Esiason!
Really? Oh, wait, no, it caveats it. Let me take that back. In many ways. Oh, yeah, it's going to go both ways on this. While Esiason's career statistics may not rank among the absolute elite of quarterbacks in terms of passing yards or touchdowns.
He won an MVP.
Yeah.
Type of thing. Yeah. Right?
Does
it even mention that?
No, it mentions his leadership qualities and his contributions to the game and the community make a compelling case for him to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Which, by the way, is fair game. It's just interesting.
His contributions to the community?
The broadcast. I thought contribution. Oh, no. He's a charitable guy. That shouldn't impact you being a Hall of Famer. As great as that is that Boomer does that.
Of course not.
Now, what I do think is, Craig used to say this, and I agreed with him. The broadcasting may. And that could happen to you, too, by the way. The longer you're a broadcaster.
Oh, you become a contributor.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
No, I don't even. I'm trying to think of. I think sometimes. Like Joe Torre, and I know that's not the best example.
Who are the broadcasters in the NFL Hall of Fame?
Well, I think
Steve Sable is, right?
No, but I mean all encompassing.
Right.
Like when you have a career like you had or Boomer had, where it is a discussion on if you're a Hall of Famer or not. Maybe you guys are, maybe
right,
you aren't.
Right.
That could and should put you over the top because of your contributions to the game.
There are contributions to the game members in the Hall of Fame, but other than the owners, I'm trying to think, are there any broadcasters?
OJ.
He's not even as a broadcaster.
No, but like that was like in the, and he also worked for whatever, NBC, all that stuff.
Well, John Madden. I mean, John Madden was a great coach.
But that's different. We're talking about a player that played his career, and then you add on after their career, they also went on to this.
But hold on. John Madden was a great coach, and then after his career was over with the Raiders, he went on and became an even more legendary broadcaster. Like, John Madden, to all of us, is a Hall of Famer,
yeah,
and I would answer.
When did he get in the Hall of Fame?
Look that up. When was he in the Hall of Fame, Sean?
Was it before or after he took off as a broadcaster?
I would probably say it was in the middle, like in the midst of
2006.
So at the end. Now, what does it say on his Hall of Fame plaque?
Well, so that means that he was definitely a contributor and not just the coach.
But the coaching impacted it as well. I mean, the guy won championship.
Oh, that's interesting. Never thought of it that way.
I think about it. You should think about it that way. No, actually, you probably shouldn't, because you'll get in anyway. You don't need this crap. No, I think you're veering up where you're going to get in before this, but being a broadcaster probably does help.
Right.
The first thing mentioned on Madden's thing is, for a generation that knows him, it was as an astute TV commentator. Then it goes into his coaching.
But it does mention his coaching.
Yes.
So you would say
the coaching was secondary on his black.
But it's an all-encompassing Hall of Fame appearance. Yes. All right, who else wants a theme song? ChatGPT can do it.
I'm ready to put away ChatGPT.
All right.
Things have gotten uncomfortable.
Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to find out the greatest draft picks in the history of New York sports. We will find out the answer.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball
your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.